I have this as a backup. I'm hoping I don't need it, but those of you who know me know I shed a lot of tears of joy and other tears. Praise Jesus. Praise the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior, you guys. For those of you that don't know, this year was the second time that Scott had high PSA levels, which has to do with your prostate, which could be a cancer indicator. And this year it went up even higher. And the probability was between 37 and up to 49% that he would have prostate cancer. So he went last week, Friday. And go big or stay home, rather than taking 6 samples, and this isn't the funnest thing. I'm not going to scare any of you guys out there. You can talk to Scott about it, how they do this, but it's not fun. They took 12 samples this time. And so we gave it to God. The week before he went to get these samples taken, I'm in the Hula Halal ministry, and Evelyn and I carpool up to Sandy's for hula practice. And we just share our hearts with each other every Tuesday when we drive together. And I was telling her about this, and just, you know, I'm trying not to be scared. I'm trusting God, and I know everything's going to work out, but still, I can't help but to be fearful. And she just told me, the Lord has a word for Scott. It's going to be okay. And I said, thank you so much. That gives me such peace about this. And no matter what the results are, I know it's going to be okay. Well, the day Friday of his procedure, I went across the street. Our neighbor has liver cancer and isn't able to get out and pull his weeds. So I went over and was pulling a few weeds, and it was really hot, so I sat down on the cement in front of his house and was drinking water. And I turned back, and there was a teeny little bird by a chair in front of Wayne's house. And it was a dove. And I looked up, and there's no nest, and there's no nest up on the roof. And I just picked him up, and I took him home. And I named him Maluhia, which is peace in Hawaiian. And I just felt that, Lord, you sent this little bird, as small and maybe as insignificant as we may think he is, to show us that your peace is here and with us and present. And this is a tangible. And this little bird is thriving. But anyway, Scott's doctor called him Friday. And praise God, there's no cancer. And we give all the glory and praise to God. And we thank each one of you who've prayed for this. And he's a healer and a redeemer, no matter what.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you. Thank you. Scott decided to take off the softball season this term because of the upcoming biopsy and all that. So, and a lot of you that have seen him play knows that he's an incredible ball player. I mean, not to brag on you, but he bats over 800. I mean, look, almost every game, it's either 5 for 5 or 4 for 4. Or he might fly out once in a while. But so, anyways, I got that report on Friday. Got that email. I got on the phone and I said, "Welcome back to the Compadres," because our team really needs them right now. That's a whole different story. All right. In your bulletins, you have a note sheet titled "Giving What I Receive." Let's pull those out. I promised everyone this morning that I'd give you a huge building update. And I'm so thankful for Evelyn's word on forgiveness. And I'm so thankful that the word that the Lord put in my heart this morning to preach was on forgiveness, because here's what happened. I was going to give you a really substantial report, but the inspector that the architect needed to meet with on the property, he was on vacation all last week and doesn't come back till Tuesday. So I'm just glad that no one brought any eggs or tomatoes. So I have nothing new to update regarding this facility that we're trying to purchase. So I'm very sorry about that. Please forgive me. All right, Let's talk about forgiveness. I want to tell you a story. Once upon a time, this man owed a lot of money. I mean, he owed a lot of money. And he wasn't surprised when he was summoned to the inner chambers of the king. So he gets this call. So he goes across the country, leaves his abode, of course, and reaches the palace, goes through the double doors, and there he stands in the king's chambers because of this great debt that he owes. And so the king comes in, and this man bows dutifully, and then an aide carries a huge ledger opened up with this guy's name on the right corner of the page, and the aide gives it to the king, and the king looks at it, and he says, "Servant, it says here, you owe me a lot of money. In fact, you owe me $10 million, 10,000 talents in the Bible, which is equivalent to $10 million. And so this man says, "Yes, sir, I do." And the king says, "Well, I want my money, and I want it now." "Oh, yes, sir, but there's one problem. I don't have that money to give you." So the king turns to his aide and all of his other advisors, and they begin a discussion about how they could sell this man and his wife and his children into slavery, and then sell his abode, of course, so they can get a little bit of revenue from that. And they're going to sell this man and his family into slavery until they get their money back. All of a sudden, the king turns around, and there the servant is on the carpet. And he sings, "King, oh king, please have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me. Don't send me to slavery. Don't kill me. Don't harm my children. Please, servant. Please, king, have mercy on me." So the king looks at him, gets the page with his name on it, tears it out, rips it up into shreds, and says, "Your debt has been forgiven. Go in peace." Can you imagine that? This servant must have been just ecstatic. He must have been flying. I mean, he didn't walk out through the double doors. He probably just flew out of that room because Harry owed such a huge amount of money, more fathomable than any kind of amount, $10 million, and he's forgiven. Isn't that great? Well, there's a little twist to the story. He goes out of the double doors, and he's walking, he's skipping, he's happy as a lark, and he sees his buddy over there that owes him $20, two denarii, I think it is. And he says, "Hey, you owe me this $2. And the servant says, "Oh yeah, I know, I do. I'm gonna get it to you." And this guy that has just been given this $10 million debt, he says, "No, you owe me $2 and $20, and I want it now." And the man says, "I don't have it to give." So he gets ready to call the police, and the guy falls on his knees and he says, "Please have mercy on me. Don't send me to jail because I'll get this money for you." And this man that's just been given $20 million says, "Ain't gonna happen." So he calls the police and has this man thrown into jail. Well, there's a little crowd gathered around, and they hear all of this, and they're not too pleased because they knew that this man was just forgiven a huge amount of money. So they go to the king, and they say, "Listen to this. You know that man that you forgave $10 million? He just wouldn't let somebody off the hook that only owed $20. So the king summons the servant again. So he leaves his abode, goes across the territory, in through the double doors into the king's chambers, and there he stands before the king. And the king says, "Aren't you the person that I just talked to today and I just forgave you $10 million? And the servant says, "Yes. Well, I just heard that you found someone that owed you $20 and you didn't forgive him. You just threw him into jail. Is that true?" And he says, "That's correct, sir." "Well," the king said, "I have news for you. That jail that your buddy is in, it is now a suite for two. And you're going to be in that jail for the rest of your life until you pay every single penny back. And as far as we know, that man is still there right now. Because in Jesus' day, a $10 million debt would have taken 125,000 years to pay back. Because common wage for a worker was $80 a year. And so $10 million, when Jesus would have told the story, his audience would have started laughing because they couldn't fathom such a big amount of money. $10 million wasn't unheard of. In fact, scholars tell us that through the whole system, the annual revenue to the Roman coffers all over the globe at that time was about $850,000. And so with that $850,000, you could pay all the judges, all the road builders, the armies of the Roman Empire, the dancers, the teachers, and all the everybodies. And you still have plenty for all the emeralds and jewelry and all the nicer things of life. Even King Herod, Herod the Great, couldn't owe $10 million. So Jesus tells him this to make a point about how drastic this sum of money would be. It was impossible to owe that much. And this guy was obviously in and over his head, but yet his debt was completely forgiven. And Jesus makes the point clear. And he says this at the end of his story. Jesus says in Matthew 18:32. Do we have that? We don't have that? Who's doing these PowerPoint slides? I mean, this is getting on my nerves. Oh, that's me. Okay, sorry about that. We need someone to do the PowerPoint slides. Okay, there it is. No, okay. I'll read it to you. Matthew 18:32 says, "Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said." This is the king talking. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to." Verse 33 says, "Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then verse 35, this is Jesus' point. He says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." The point being, if you want your sins to be forgiven by our Father in heaven, you better forgive the wrongs that others do against you. And you're going to find something of major importance in Jesus' teachings. Not only here, but in many different places, Jesus talks about forgiveness. And I'll tell you why. It's because every one of us here this morning is susceptible to an unforgiving heart. You with me on that? Maybe you don't have one at this moment, but we're all susceptible to areas of unforgiveness in our hearts. And everyone's going to struggle with it from time to time. It might be at work. It might be at school with a teacher or another fellow student. It might be in your home with a spouse. You just some areas that you're bitter. You're holding a grudge. It might be with children. It might be with parents or grandparents. It might even very well be here in this church. There's that area where there's bitterness and there's that grudge and you've been offended by someone for whatever reason. Jesus talked about forgiveness a lot, because we are all susceptible to having unforgiveness. And what we learn here is that when we have unforgiveness in our heart, it creates a barrier between us and God. In fact, we're not going to receive forgiveness because we haven't given it. So this morning, there's two critical points that I want to challenge us with as we seek to be the people that really God is calling us to be right now at this time in our church history. I'm really excited, everybody. We're coming up to 3 years in just a few weeks. 3 years, and I really believe that we're coming into a new season of ministry. And I believe that all of us, too, we're coming into a new day, a new season of spiritual life and vitality. I'm saying some of you have been in a mess, and God's going to deliver you from it. Some of you have been in a mess, and God's going to keep you there because He's teaching you how to have pure joy through the midst of, you know, bad times and troubled times. Because that's his goal for us, is to, you know, improve our character and mold us and shape us to be people that are unshaken by the things around us. But I know it in my heart, and I sense it, and some of you sense it too. We're coming into a new season of ministry, and all of us, our individual families, I believe the same thing. We're walking into a new season. But this thing right here, everybody, we've got to get this down. We've got to get this right. And we need to be reminded of this from time to time, because it's something that we're all susceptible to. All of us, we get offended. We get hurt. We get things said to us or done to us, or things not said to us and not done to us. And man, we can walk in that spirit of unforgiveness. And the first thing that I want to challenge us with is this. There's an inseparable connection between gratitude and forgiveness. We have to grasp this. It's when we lose that thankful heart, it's when we lose that spirit of gratitude, that really unforgiveness can creep in there and really become the master of our lives. And this story that I told you today from Matthew, it's really a story about a servant who was offered the forgiveness of a $10 million debt, and he didn't receive it. If he would have received that forgiveness, if he would have been gracious and had gratitude for it, $20 would have been nothing to him. Why didn't he forgive? It was a lack of gratitude for all that had been given to him. Let me put it in these terms. Imagine that you filled out the super-duper sweepstakes a couple months ago. Not expecting to hear anything, but now it's Sunday morning and you're at church, and in church we're having a special offering for our building, and somebody nudges you and says, "Oh, I forgot my money. Would you mind lending me $2 so I can give it to our building fund?" And you first think, "Oh, what a cheapskate, $2. You can do better than $2. But you lend him the $2, no problem." And so the guy says, "You know what? I'll drop by tomorrow, or I'll drop by later today, and I'll give you this $2 back." So he said, "Oh, no problem, no worries." Well, now it's Monday, it's tomorrow morning, and this guy didn't bring us the $2 back, but it's not a big deal. You're going to get it because it's $2, and, you know, that's half a tank of gas, half a gallon of gas. Not even half a gallon of gas. So, but at about 8 o'clock in the morning, you get a phone call from New York City, and at the end of the other end of the line is this exuberant voice saying, "Congratulations, I'm pleased to announce that you have just won the super-duper sweepstakes, and we're going to be coming with a check for $1 million to give to you." Whoa! I mean, you can't believe it. Is this really a phone call, and it's verified, and you're getting $1 million? Now, honestly, that guy that owes you $2, are you going to forget about it? $1 million is coming your way in just a few days. Are you going to, some of you can remember the $2 because you don't have a gracious heart, but for the most of us, we're going to, $2 is nothing. Keep it, you know. Just go and keep it. You're going to be so grateful that you won that $1 million that $2 won't seem like anything. And that's the lesson of forgiveness. It's being so grateful and so thankful that God has forgiven all of your sins and wrongs, maybe equal to the tune of $10 million, that you can forgive somebody's debt of $20. Yes, they hurt you, they wronged you, but it's nothing like the wrongs that you've done in your life that God has forgiven you for. You with me on that? So listen, that servant who was summoned across the territory into the king's chambers, that could be you or me. In fact, this is going to get kind of uncomfortable here, but stay with me for a second. I want us to try this out, all right? You're the servant. You with me? Let's head across the territory, and you're walking into the king's palace. You've been summoned, so you walk through the double doors. You're ushered into the chamber by the king, into the king's chambers by an aide, and you wait there for the king to arrive. After a few moments, the king walks in. You're going to bow before your heavenly father. And the king opens up the book, and it says, "Oh, and your name's up there." And then the king says, "Man, it says here that you've done a lot of bad things. All throughout your life, you've..." And then he starts listing all the wrongs that you've done from a long time ago, not so long ago, and even most recent. There's things on there. You haven't helped people. You've cursed, and you said God's name in vain, and on and on and on, all the wrongs that you're currently doing. And the king says, is this correct? And every one of us here must answer, yes. All these things that I've done, all these things I said to my spouse, all these things I said in anger, all the ways that I've lived, yes, it's correct. And then the king says, wait a second, you've hurt people. You've hurt yourself. You've hurt me, your loving father. You've lived contrary to the way that a citizen of heaven should live. You've become so attached to this earth that you're not a priest of the kingdom of heaven. You've missed the mark so much. Is this true? And you say, yes, it's true. And the king says, well, you know what? You're going to go to hell and you're going to burn there for the rest of all eternity. You've blown it. You've missed it. And you fall on your knees and you say, please, God, forgive me of my sins. Please forgive me of living my way and not your way. Of all the wrongs that I've done, please forgive me. And God says, okay. And he takes up a piece of paper and he rips it up. And he says, you're forgiven. That is our story, everybody. Are you with me on that? That is the story of God's grace and his forgiveness that each one of us here who is a believer in Jesus Christ has received. So what do? We walk out of the king's chambers and we see him and her and her and my child, my spouse, and all those people that have wronged me. And I say, give me my 20 bucks. Give me my 20 bucks. Give me my 20 bucks. We've just been forgiven $10 million. And we keep wanting our 20 bucks from everybody else. We've got to get to that place of gratitude where we remember how much God has forgiven us, how much he's released us from what is owed to, what we deserve, and get to that place where the wrongs that are done against us, we can release. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. It's not. We're going to talk about how to do it in just a few moments, but it's getting to that, I think, to that foundational place of gratitude, because gratitude and forgiveness, they're inseparably connected. You're not going to have a forgiving heart if you're not gracious, if you're not grateful and thankful for all that God has done for you. You agree? The second point is huge for us to get this morning, because it's going to determine the forgiveness you receive from God. And this is this. The forgiveness I receive is based on the forgiveness I give. Jesus is clear. You're not going to be forgiven of this debt that God has forgiven you of if you don't forgive others. He's going to call you back into the chamber and say, listen, I thought I ripped up that piece of paper that had all those wrongs that you've done, but now you're not... You're asking $20 from all these people. And is that right? You can say, yeah, it is right. And Jesus says this from Matthew 18:35. I got this. Here it is. Jesus says, let's go to the next slide. There we go, Matthew 18:35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. See, it's a principle not to be taken lightly. He's saying, if you're not forgiving others of the lesser things they've done to you, I'm not going to forgive you of the big stuff. Jesus said it again in Matthew 6:14-15. Jesus said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Look at verse 15. He says, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Are you getting how important it is for us to walk in forgiveness? It's going to determine a lot of things in our life. It's going to determine a lot of things. The forgiveness you receive is based on the forgiveness you give. And still we might think, but you don't understand. How am I ever going to forgive this person? How am I ever going to release this person? How am I going to do that? And here's what I've learned in life. When there is hurt and you can't forgive someone in your own power, that's a good place to be. This is where you need to rely on God's power to do it. The only way some of you can forgive is to rely on God's power. Because in my own power is anger, hatred, revenge, bitterness. I want to get back at you for what you've said to me and the attitude you've had against me. I want to just jab you back, you know. That's what we're going to do in our own strength. But you can forgive when you depend and trust on God's power. Because I want to tell you something. God knows a little bit about forgiveness. To forgive us of our sins, I'm telling you, God knows a little bit about forgiveness. If you think about some of the wrongs in your life, God knows a little bit. God knows a lot. God knows a tremendous amount about forgiveness. He sent his son to the cross to die for the forgiveness of our sins. God knows all about forgiveness. And I'm telling you, if God is in you, if his spirit is alive in you, you've got access to that power. You don't have to walk in that unforgiveness any longer. If he's in you, you've got that power to rely on. But here's the thing about unforgiveness. If you don't forgive that person, the truth is, you're not going to live life to the fullest. If you've got things that you're upset about, various people in the church, various people, wherever, you're not living life to the fullest. In fact, you're going to have a straitjacket on, and you're going to feel trapped. You're going to see certain people, and it's going to give you that ugly feeling in your stomach. You're going to go to certain places, and you're because you're not walking in that forgiveness that God wants you to walk in. And it'll keep you from loving God. It'll keep you from making a difference with your life. That's how important forgiveness is. And here's how you do it. You say, I release you from the hurt you've caused me. You might not have to say it over and over again. You write that down. Sometimes you may have to actually talk to someone and say, you know what, I forgive you. You've wronged me. I forgive you for that. And then you'll be reminded of it, and you say to yourself, I forgive that person for the wrong that they've done to me. I forgive them. I release them. I release that person for all the hurt they've caused me. And if you don't release that person, you're going to keep having those feelings of revenge or giving even feelings of malice. You know, rejoicing when bad things happen to someone. Oh, he's about to lose his house. Yeah, he had that coming. Oh, he's having this problem with his marriage. Yeah, he had that coming. You know what I mean? That's so anti-Jesus when we start feeling that way. But we do it when we get to the place of unforgiveness. We want bad things to happen to people because of our hearts. And so we've got to rely on God's power to do that. This morning I was sitting on the couch and I was just praying and looking through my notes. And Daniel comes into the kitchen. He doesn't see me on the couch. And so I'm watching him. He walks into the kitchen. And he sees the box of cereal, and it's on top of the refrigerator. And it's on the left side of the refrigerator. So Daniel, my little 7-year-old boy, walks up, and he tries to get the box of cereal. You know, and I'm thinking, I could probably help him, but no, let's let him develop his problem-solving skills. So he's trying to get that box. He can't touch it. So he stands there and looks at it, goes over to the counter, hops up on the counter, reaches for the box on the fridge, but it's still far away. You know, he can't reach it. He pulls back, jumps on the refrigerator. He's on top of the fridge, his head on the ceiling, gets the box, turns around, and he sees me. And he's like, you know, like, Daniel, you could have just asked. But I didn't know you were there, Dad. But he was willing to do whatever it took to feed himself. Because he's a grown boy, and when he's hungry, he's going to eat. In fact, he's probably the biggest eater in our house, my little 8-year-old. Whatever it takes to get that box of cereal, nothing was going to stop him from doing that. And I want to tell you this morning, we've got to come into this thing of forgiveness with that same tenacity. We're going to do whatever it takes to get our hearts right. Does it mean breaking down pride? Yes, it does. Does it mean doing something that's going to be very uncomfortable if you have to confront somebody? Yes, it does. Does it mean if you're not confronting someone, letting go of someone that you've you know, you're mad at them and you're going to release that? Yeah, it means all of that. We got to do whatever it takes because the amount of forgiveness we receive is based on the amount of forgiveness we give. And we know that God's not going to give us any of it if we have unforgiveness in our hearts. On your note sheet, I put a little dotted line there for you to fold right there, and you can kind of just rip it. But I've got a box right here under the cross. And I'm going to invite you to do something. And some of you aren't going to do it because you're too embarrassed to walk up here. And I'm just going to tell you, get over your embarrassment. But let God do something with your heart right now, because this is a huge moment for us. I'm telling you, this is huge for us. But after we do this little exercise, I'm going to take it home. I'm not going to open it. I'm going to take it right to my chimenea in my backyard, and I'm going to have a little bonfire right there. So no one is going to ever see what you write on there. But there's just a place for you maybe to write a name or two or 15 or 20 or whatever you're feeling right now. And we're going to take that if you want to. This is, I mean, obviously this is you and God right now. But if you want to just feel that release this morning by taking the first step, I'm telling you, there's no better place to put it than at the feet of Jesus. You know why? It may be hard to walk up here to do it, but think about how hard it was for him to die, you know, to spread his arms out, to show this is how much he loves us and wants to forgive us, you know. It's no easy thing. But you know what? I believe that this morning God wants to begin the healing process for so many of us this morning, because we've been shackled. We've been not giving God our best. We've not even been giving our families our best, because there's areas of unforgiveness that God this morning is wanting to just get inside and clear up and clean up. All right? I'm going to pray right now, and as I'm praying, and Randy, if you come lead us in a song, let's do the offering, if that's okay. And during this time, if you want to just write a few names down there, and anytime during the song, just come up here and just lay it at the feet of Jesus. And when you do it, just say in your heart, in your mind, Lord, I'm laying this down at your feet because I'm gracious for the forgiveness you've given me. I'm so thankful, Lord, that I don't owe you $10 million. So I'm giving these to you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for speaking to our hearts this morning, Lord. Lord, when we think about even areas of unforgiveness that we have, we're so reminded of why we need a Savior. Because, Lord, on our own, Lord, we're not always the best people, Lord. We may have the best intentions, Lord, but we get hurt. We're human, Lord. And that's why we need your divine power and strength, Lord, to help us, Jesus. So we call on you right now. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up and sing.
The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne. Before the Holy One of Heaven. And it's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. Not bringing offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. And Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. So, Lord, I bring an offering to you.
Dear Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, collectively for your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We don't want to take that for granted, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that we would just renew today our passion for gratitude, Lord, for all that you've done for us. May that gratitude so fill us, Lord, that forgiving others, Lord Jesus, is in the forefront of our thinking, Lord. We learn to walk in forgiveness, Lord. I just pray right now, Lord, for all of us here this morning, Lord. May we be a gracious people, Lord. Make us a humble people, Jesus. And I just thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives this morning. Thank you so much, Lord, for the release of so many people, Lord. The beginning place of release, Jesus. I thank you so much, Lord, and we commit all of this to you in your precious name. Amen. Amen. If any of you would like extended prayer, we're going to have a prayer team up here to pray for you. I want to remind you, you're going to have feelings of towards that person that you wrote. Just, Lord, I release that person from the hurt they caused me. Just make that a prayer. And I'm guaranteeing you, you're gonna find healing and forgiveness, and you're going to find new joy. All right? God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great day.
The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. And it's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the